Well, today I have one major question that I want to pose to you, and that is this: do you have life? Do you have life? And some of you may be thinking, Pastor, I think you've lost your marbles. If you look at me right now, I mean, I'm not dead. Obviously, I have life, right? I'm alive. You can see that. I mean, that's what's going on. Well, truth is, I actually may have lost a few marbles in my lifetime over the years. And in the next 20 minutes, if you're really tired and you're really exhausted, you may actually look dead from my point of view. But irregardless, the question remains, do you have life? Do you have life? Well, that question can be a bit confusing because life can mean different things in different situations, different contexts of that question. You've heard it said that a cat has 9 lives, right? Well, today we're going to look at 4 lives. 4 different ways in which that word life, how it can mean to you and I. When we hear that word life, most of us think of it as this, as breathing in and breathing out. The fact that we are alive, that means that we have life. And so in that sense, if you are all still with me, you're still breathing today, that's good. That means you're true. That is true. You have life. That is right. But we need to be thankful for life. God is the author of life. He gives life to us. The Bible says from the very beginning, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He is the author of life. He is the giver of life. God set the planets in motion. He set the stars exactly where they wanted them to be, the billions of stars. He created all the creatures that roam upon the earth, the fish in the seas. He took some dirt. He formed man, and then he breathed into his nostrils the very breath of life, and that man, Adam, became a living being. And he took from Adam and created woman, right? Woman, out of that. And so there is life as humans, and all of us can trace our lives back to Adam and Eve in the beginning. Not only is God the giver of life, but he is the sustainer of life as well. That means that God holds all things together. The Bible says this, in him, in God, we live and we move and we have our being. Can you all do this today? Can you take your right arm and do this? Let's see you. Very good. If you don't like the guy next to you, do this, right? There you go. No, just kidding. Don't do that. But the fact that you can do that today happens because of the sustaining power of God. God holds all things together by his power. Scientists may scratch their heads and they just don't know what is this power that forces these molecules together so that things exist. The Bible says that it is God's sustaining power, the very word of God, that keeps these things together, that keeps you intact today, that keeps you on those chairs today, is the very power of God. So when it comes to physical life, if you are breathing, that has come because of God. Then yes, you have life. That's life number one. And you all have that. You still got it so far. Hopefully you'll have it by the time I'm done too. Number two, there's another way we speak of life. We know that there's really more to life, isn't there, than just existing, just surviving. Breathing in and breathing out can really be defined as just that, as existing. And most of us want something better out of life than just this mere existence, don't we? We want to enjoy life. We really want what's called the good life, don't we? And so we pursue happiness, we pursue pleasure, so that we'll experience the most out of this life, that our lives will seem fulfilled and meaningful. We'll search out that good life. And so we pursue this good life. But what happens when things go sour? What happens when life is just the pits? What happens when no joy can be found? We may be tempted to say this, you know what, I'm alive right now, but I'm not living. You know, I may be breathing in and breathing out, but I'm just existing. I'm not enjoying life. This isn't the good life that I hoped it would be. And so to combat this, we spend a lot of time, don't we, pursuing the good life, a lot of energy, trying to get the good things out of this life. I'm not sure how many of you have ever seen the show, but raise your hands. How many of you have ever seen that show, The Biggest Loser? Andy, you've seen it. Come on, don't be embarrassed. I know, but maybe some of you have seen it. I know when it first came out, I thought it was kind of a silly show and just a waste of my time, but I've actually watched it a few times since then, and I don't think it's silly anymore. Still may be a waste of my time, but there's a good message with that show. And if you've seen the show, often those who have to leave the show, the idea is to lose as much weight as you can, you become the biggest loser. But obviously, if you don't make it to the top, then you get sent home and you got to go home. But what's interesting is even when many of these folks are sent home because they didn't quite lose enough weight, they are happy because they've changed some things in their life. They're now exercising a lot. They're eating right. They're kind of on the path to that good life. And so even though they're sent home, they say this, "It feels like I've got my life back." They'll say that. What does that mean? It means that at one time, the struggles and the difficulties of life had overtaken these people so much that it felt like they really didn't have life, that they were just kind of existing and didn't have life at all. There was no vitality to life. There was no life in life. They were just existing. Well, for those on that show, it is the battle to lose weight. Maybe that's not your battle in life. Maybe you've got a battle in your home, maybe in your family life. Maybe you've got a battle at your job. Maybe you've got a battle with finances. You're in a financial struggle. And maybe for some of you today, there's this battle about getting to know God and who God really is. And so there's this overwhelming sense in you that you're not really enjoying life, that the life has been sucked out of you today. And while there may be some benefits to quote, living the good life, good to exercise and eat right and all that stuff, the truth is this, even the good life will not satisfy the greatest void in your life. Let me say that again. Even the good life will not satisfy the greatest void in your life. You could have more energy than Richard Simmons or Jane Fonda. Remember those people? I'm dating myself, ain't I? Because they were back in the day. I don't know who the latest exercise guru is, but back in the day, they had all kinds of energy. You may be the most positive, fun-loving, happy person in the world, but yet you still may really not have life according to Jesus. Because Jesus speaks about a life number three. What life is that he talks about? Jesus talks about a life that knows who Jesus is, that knows what he came to do, and that life has received new life through Christ. You may say, well, wait a minute. Wait, Pastor, what do you mean receive a new life? Why do I need a new life? I have a life right now. My life is good. I've got a good job, a good family, a good home. I've got great health. My life is good. What do you mean I need a new life? Well, the truth is, though you may be alive and breathing today, and though you may have a, quote, good life, the truth is you may not be alive. You may actually be dead. You say, okay, Pastor, now I know you've lost your marbles because I'm alive and I have life. But what does Jesus say? He's talking about a different life. Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. He said, my word is truth. And listen to the truth of God's word about our deadness. The Bible says, because of sin, we're dead in sin and trespasses. Because we are born in sin and we sin by nature, sin by choice, there is this deadness. No vitality when it comes to a relationship with God. There's simply a deadness without Christ. Let's suppose later today, this afternoon, you went down to the local morgue and you visited that. I don't know, is there a local morgue that we can go visit? I don't know if there is, but let's pretend that you went down there and you visited the local morgue. Great thing to do, isn't it? On an Easter afternoon, just take your family and go visit some dead people. And you go and you see this dead body, and you begin to talk to it. Oh, you still with me, Florence? You're still breathing, right? Okay, good. And so you go and you see this dead body, and you begin to talk to it. Nothing. And so you begin to sing over it, sing these great songs like, "You Light Up My Life," or something like that, and still nothing. You begin to dance a little bit, still nothing. You grab the body's hand, you begin to shake it and say, "Hey, bro," still nothing. There's no communion there. You'll notice after a while, you may be there a long time, and you'll eventually realize this, there's just no connection here. Why? Because I'm alive, and that corpse in front of me is dead. Well, God says in the same way, we as sinners are these spiritual corpses in his sight. We have no life without Christ. And yet Jesus came to bring us eternal life. How can we who are dead in sin be made alive? Jesus said this, "I am the way and the truth and the life." He also said, "I am the resurrection and the life." He said, "Because I live, you too will be able to live. You too will have life." And today is a day that we celebrate life, isn't it? It's Easter Sunday, or we better call it Resurrection Day. The day we celebrate Jesus rising from the dead. And it's a day that we celebrate life, not life number one, although that's good. I'm glad we have physical life. Not life number two, that we have the good life, that we may have a lot of things to enjoy in life. But life number three, today is about life number three. It's about celebrating eternal life, everlasting life that comes through Jesus Christ. Because after our physical lives are over, whether you live to be 40, 60, 80, or some of you may even reach 100, eventually our lives, our bodies will die. In one sense, they will end, but in another sense, we will continue on. And we will continue on either in a place of glory with God or a place without any glory apart from God. We will continue on either in eternal life or in eternal death. And you may say, "Pastor, that sounds like a contradiction. How can you continue in a place of eternal death? That just doesn't make sense. Once we die, don't we just cease to exist?" Well, many would hope that that is the end for much of humanity. But remember this, the Bible says what? God is eternal. And people, we humans have been made in his image and in his likeness. Therefore, we too are everlasting. We too will continue on even after these shells, these bodies decay and they become dust in the ground. Who we are, our very being, is going to continue on for all eternity. And they're going to continue on in a place either of perfect glory, perfect joy, the ultimate feel-good experience in glory in heaven. Or we will continue on in a place of deep, dark, lonely depression in a place called hell, which is eternal death. You may say, "Pastor, come on, it's Easter Sunday. Cheer things up a little bit. Let's not talk so much about this death. Let's talk about Easter bunnies and jelly beans and flowers and life." But you know, we really can't understand true life unless we look back at death. We can't celebrate the resurrection of Christ unless we focus on Good Friday and the fact that Jesus Christ died so that we could have life. Jesus Christ went to an existence where there was no glory, no joy, darkness, depression, despair. He became a curse, the Bible says, for us. He was forsaken of the Father. He experienced hell, you could say, so that we wouldn't have to experience that. That is how we get life. It's through Christ. You may ask why I speak of death. I speak of death because the worst place you can be is to be here today and think in your mind that you really have life number three, that you're really spiritually alive when, in fact, you are spiritually dead. I speak of death because the one who gave true life experienced death for you and I. Listen to the words of Jesus. In John chapter 5, he says this, "For as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom he will. The Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son, so that all may honor the Son, just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but he has passed from death to life. Those are some powerful but yet very simple words from Jesus Christ about how you and I can have life. And Jesus says simply this: if you would just humble yourself, repent of your sin, put your faith in me, believe in me that I am your sacrifice, your substitute, I died for your sins upon the cross. If you would believe in that, you would not be condemned, you would not face the judgment, but you would pass from death to life. What a beautiful thing that Jesus says, you can be made alive by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says that those who believe in Christ are headed for an awesome future. Listen to the words of the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible. It says, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death will be no more. Neither shall there be mourning or crying or pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. You know, there's a lot of good things that we can experience in this life, and just a lot of common joys. But you know, there's a lot of things in life that simply stink too, don't they? Things like death. Things like pain, things like broken relationships. Those things just stink. They do. Those things stink in our lives. The Apostle Paul says that the trials and the pain that we go through in this life, he said, is nothing compared to the glory that awaits us in heaven. And so my prayer today for each one of you is that you will one day enter that place of glory, that you will one day enter heaven to be with Christ, because Christ is your life. Jesus said this: narrow is the way that leads to life, but wide or broad is this way that leads to death and destruction. And many people think of that as this, that Jesus saying, well, you know what, to get to heaven, you just gotta keep it straight, boy. You can't get off the path. If you mess up a little bit, you're out. And he's going to send you to hell. No, that's not the meaning. Why is that path so narrow? The path is so narrow because Christ is the path. Christ is the only way. Christ is the path to life. And so if you're not on Christ, then you could be on who knows what path. And there's many of those paths to take. But the one path, the true path, is Christ and him alone. Are you on the path today that leads to life? Is Christ your life? Is he your Lord? Is he your Savior? If he's not, then take a detour. Get off the path you're on and get on to the path of Christ. Look to Christ and then follow him. Listen to what Jesus said. He said, everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Well, finally, life number four. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly. You see, after we come to faith in Christ, after we know him, we still have a time on earth here. And Jesus says, this life, even on earth, can be abundant. It can be good. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying this. Come to Jesus, and you're going to have the greatest job. You're going to have the greatest home. You're going to have the biggest house on the block. You're never going to have any troubles. No, you may have just the opposite when you come to follow Christ. But the point is this: when you know Christ, life is good because Christ is good, because God is good. Therefore, whatever comes into my life, if there is deep sorrow, I know this: Jesus is my life, Jesus is my joy. If there are battles that rage within us, war around us, Jesus is my peace. If we are lonely, Jesus is our comforter. When we are weak, he is our strength. Paul said, "For me to live is Christ." And if Christ is our life, then it's all good. Then every day can be good because we're living in Christ. There is freedom in Christ. We heard songs today about this freedom. And it's not just at the moment of salvation, of forgiveness, of turning to him, but it's even after that. We can live in this freedom as we live in Christ and as we walk and keep in step with the Holy Spirit. Are you enjoying the abundant life? A life that's filled with Christ if you know him and you believe in him? Or is there so much self that there is no joy, there is no peace, there is no love in you because you've crowded out, you've grieved the Spirit of God? I pray that if you're a believer today and you're just living in the flesh, that you would live in the Spirit, that you would experience abundant life because Jesus is your life every day. He's your life. Well, let's pray. Father, I thank you that you have given us life. Lord, each one of us here are able to breathe today, and that is because of your power and grace. And so we thank you for that, Lord. But Lord, there's a day coming when we will breathe our last breath, and who knows when that may be. Lord, we just don't know, but I pray that each and every one here today would have true life, would have everlasting life, that they would turn to Christ and find freedom. Lord, the weight of sin would be broken, would be carried away by the cross, by the blood of Christ. Oh, Jesus, cleanse any heart today that may need you. They may need forgiveness. Lord, may they seek your face today, and may you pour out your grace upon them. And Lord, for we who know you and love you, may we walk in you each day and just enjoy life because you are our life. And you give us strength for any trial. And when we are weak, you are strong, God. And your grace abounds so much in our lives. And we thank you for that, Lord. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.